In a world full of movie podcasts, here is one more. Welcome to Defend Your Movie with Sean Donnelly
and Andrew Fiore.
The time has come again. The champion must end. It can only be one of us. Victoria!
And welcome to another edition of Defend Your Movie. How are you, defenders? My name is Sean Donnelly. I am one of your hosts. I am joined by the very lovable, huggable co-host, Andy slash Andrew Fiore, ladies and gentlemen.
Will you please say Fiore right?
What do I say?
You say Fiore. I don't think you do it. Fiore? I think you do it subconsciously.
I do do it subconsciously.
I know, because you have
Fiore.
Well, when we're walking down the street, you go, Fiore, what do you want to do this? And then what you get in your host mode, you go, Fiore.
Seinfeld, that was Seinfeld. I've lost my Fiore, the poor baby. Helen, have you seen my Fiore?
I have lost my Fiore.
I lost my Fiore. Maybe the dingo ate your Fiore. We're going to replace Fiore for a fiance.
It's good to see you, buddy. Sorry we had to take a week off last week.
Yes.
But it's good to be back. I missed you.
I'm ready to
jump right back in it. I'm really ready to go.
I'm very excited. First off, I meant to ask you before. We might just have to leave this alone. Did you see Endgame or no?
No. Well, you know,
you're not a huge Marvel guy.
Exactly. I kind of know a big spoiler someone told me.
Oh, my God. Who told you? Who did that? A comic?
I might have read something, to be honest.
Not what the spoiler was, but you read in an article. Well, put it this way. I saw it the Tuesday after it came out.
And I remember. We were supposed to go together, and I said, I forgot I had a show that night.
Yes, that's right. But
what you owe me the money for?
What'd you say?
What you owe me the money
for? Oh, I do owe you the money for it. You're right, I do. I'll give it to you after this. Even I was worried about spoiling spoiling it. So I can only imagine how much you've seen.
Well, not that much, because it's also one of those things I'm not really like actively searching for it.
You know what I mean?
It's pretty easy to avoid things if you're not looking.
And you're really not into these movies. I'm so shocked.
It's not that I'm not really into them. I enjoy them, raring to go to see them. And especially, it's 3 hours long, and I don't need to go see it in the theater. I'll be happy to watch it once it's out.
But the theater is like where it's good. Theater is like, you know, that's where you want to go see it. There's a new movement out there, Andrew Fiore, where any movies that are made for the theater, we should all be going to see them, because there's not much that's going to the theaters anymore.
You're right. 100% right.
Like now, a lot of movies are available on Netflix and the theater, or just Netflix, or iTunes and the theater, like very small ones.
I agree 100%. It's just I got lazy, and Dark Knight, when that came out, I saw it twice in the theater. I was like, this is a movie I have to see in the theater. The other one, I saw it in the IMAX.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Me too. That movie was... I saw it in the same IMAX I saw Endgame.
So I do agree with you that there are movies I will go see in the theater. Like, I watched Mandy at home, and then I was like, I got to see that in the big screen.
Should have done that. Me and Saint Germain watched it at home as well.
Yeah.
And we should have went and saw it in the theater.
It was really cool.
And just the way it's shot and everything.
It's one of those movies, too, where you get that camaraderie between the audience members.
Oh, yeah.
Where I imagine that happens in definitely a movie like Endgame, with the finality of everything and, you know.
Oh, yeah, it kind of does.
You all get on the same page and you're all cheering.
There's reactions going on,
definitely. Reactions.
And also, like, you know, it was just me and Saint Germain watching it, and there was camaraderie. We high-fived. Also, like, great bad guys, like, you're rooting for the, you know, the, you know that kind of thing. So... So there is a thing to theater culture now.
Yes.
I think it will come full circle. Because I don't think you will not get rid of the theater entirely.
No, 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 no.
You can't. And if you do, then it's a real problem. Nobody's going to be...
Too much money, first of all.
What?
Way too much money for box offices.
Right.
That money.
That's where the crux of the business is based off. So that's why they have to keep making these things bigger and bigger so people come to see them.
Yeah.
Like, this Marvel thing is, like, it's kind of saving the movie. I know I've said this before, but other things. It's kind of saving the movie business because it made $2 billion. It's second of all time.
Yeah, But I think that's because of the genre and because of the world it lives in. I still think people will go to the movies just to go see, like, an hour and a half rom-com.
I think that's the point. I don't know if they do.
Oh, I still
maybe
think
they
will.
Do, but they don't
maybe
put them
as
out.
Much, but
it's not cost effective for them to put the screen time.
Yeah,
the real estate for the screen is becoming that much more valuable. So put it this way: look at an action movie from 1992. Let's say Lethal Weapon 2, right?
Yeah.
Now let's look at one that's coming out, kind of a similar vibe: Hobbs and whatever they want his name, the Fast and
Calvin.
The Furious. No, whatever. Statham and The Rock.
Okay.
That's a buddy movie that's coming out now.
Okay.
Think about the how much of a difference in production value and just bigness and just in huge budget, huge action, huge scenarios, huge everything that it was compared to what action movies were in like the late 80s, early 90s. Like, you had Die Hard.
Of course.
Dude, think about it. The third Fast and the Furious blows away the action sequences of Die Hard. But the thing is this. They're treading water. They have to do this.
But with you're just talking, but the sequences are still not making up for, I still need a solid story. I still need
Sure. What they're saying is
that your
TV's big enough that you can enjoy that at home. Like, so what do you got?
Fair.
And the only ones that are surviving that are art house cinematography guys like Paul Thomas and Wes Anderson, because it's so visual.
Yeah.
It has to be visual or it has to be big action. That's why I'm saying, I talked about it once in the podcast, I think when you were around. Richard Gere is kind of null and void at this point, because the movies that he had were these middle management type rom-coms.
Yeah.
or like Mothman type horror things that weren't really horror movies. Remember that when he did the Mothman Prophecies? Or it was like, they're very basic type movies, but they were drawn by him because he was a movie star.
Right.
Now what's happening is the idea of a movie star is changing. Like, people are going for different reasons. The idea of a movie star is like The Rock. Or if you look at Tom Cruise, like, look at what Tom Cruise has had to do to keep his title as, like, an action movie star. He broke his freaking ankle.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That would have happened.
Anyway.
I think he was one of those guys who was going to just, you know, be doing his own stunts till the day he dies anyway.
Yeah, okay. He's that kind of guy. He's just psychotic.
Yeah. I agree and I disagree, to be honest. I know that's a wishy-washy answer. Yeah, right. I don't think it'll ever go away. To the extent you think it will, but I do still think there is a decent amount of people going. You got to remember, we do live in a bubble in New York City. But the flyover states, that's still a thing. People go to the movies and
I'm saying rom-coms.
Yeah, I'm including that. Just go to the movies just to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Like, my aunt, like, would go to the movies just to go to a movie, despite what was even playing.
So was I.
You know what
that.
I mean?
I'm the same way. I wanted to go the other day.
I still think a lot of people do that.
And just to go see something.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't want to sit at home. Let's just go to the movies and we'll see. We honestly, not to sound pretentious, but it's like, I have just so much more discerning tastes now. I'm not going to spend my money or waste my time. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what's funny is there's a new comedy out with, what's her name? The girl from when she did It's What Women Want. That girl's in it. And I think what's her name might be in it? The comic that came big from
Tiffany Haddish?
Tiffany Haddish. She might be in it too. And I think it's the reverse. They become little.
Yeah, it's. I know exactly.
It's reverse. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a girl
who becomes little. It's a woman who becomes little.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. But here's the thing: like, that came out, you don't hear anything. It must either be terrible. But Big was amazing.
Well, yeah.
But just having that connotation, it should have made it a big splash.
Like, no, I disagree. It's a hacky remake of a great movie.
Did you say hacky?
Oh,
you
yeah,
said,
hacky.
Okay. Be careful. I'm gonna have to cut that out.
Nope.
Come on.
That's staying in. Do not cut that out, because that's a great joke. I think the Defenders are hip enough to be cool. Be cool, Honey Bunny. Oh, by the way, but before we get to our meats and peats of the podcast, I know we're going to probably do a podcast next week, but you got a big birthday coming up, pal.
I do! And you have something else, and you also have
a big birthday coming up, more of a landmark.
You have a much bigger birthday coming up.
But I bought you a birthday present last night. I'm so excited.
Did you really?
I did. I saw it online, and I ordered it immediately.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I don't think it's going to get shipped in time, so it might be a late one.
That's okay.
But, yeah, Shawnee's is May 19th. Our birthdays are exactly 2 weeks apart. A year and 2 weeks. But,
yeah.
I saw it and I went, oh, perfect.
Really?
It's one of those gifts. And I'm, granted, not
I'm
a
so
great
flattered.
Gift giver. I'm usually like, I don't know, here's money. Like, what do you mean?
I just got my sister a gift card, but it's from a place that she
likes.
Yeah,
I'm totally a gift card guy. But it was just one of those things. It all came together.
Really?
I'm so excited to give it to you.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's good.
Now I'm curious what it is.
It's a really good one.
Do you know what's so funny is that I was going to get you something last night.
Aw, that would have been weird.
But I wasn't sure if you have it.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's the thing, but I might just go back and get it just in case, because I know you'll dig
it. Save the receipt.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good idea. Yeah, save the receipt.
Well, I have a PlayStation 4, so don't.
I was going to get you a Nintendo Switch and a PlayStation 4, just if you want to mix it up.
But that's
a little
funny.
Bit.
Oh, look at what sweet guys we are. Yeah, I'm really excited. I hope it comes before your birthday,
now
which
I'm
is
so
also
curious
my mommy's
what this
birthday.
Is. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yes, that's totally true.
We'll mention all that stuff at the end of the show. The plugs, because I have a nice, fun birthday show that you're going to be a part of.
That's correct.
And yeah, it's the big 4-0. So
it'll be huge.
So
stick
around for all the details.
That'll be a couple of Chardonnays.
Yeah, that might be a couple of
Chardonnays. Post-show Chardonnays. so do you want to get to the meats and the peas?
Absolutely. I did watch The Old Man and the Gun. Robert Redford.
I have heard terrible things.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
I'll tell you, I trust people because I purposely didn't watch it because of.
I had that in the back of my head.
Yeah.
While I was watching it. After I saw it, there was enough for me to go, all right, I didn't hate that as much as I think it was List who told me he hated it.
Yeah, me too. And he told me too. I have a guess of why it's bad.
Well, it's based on a true story, and it was fine for an hour and a half.
Which means that, like, three little things in it were true.
But I saw something at the end. I go, I have to look that up, because I think I just picked off a subtle nod to a old Robert, to The Sting. Casey Affleck is visiting him in the hospital, and kind of gives him the finger over the nose, which was the signal that they used in The Sting to go ahead. It was the go ahead signal. It was just kind of I don't know how to describe that over.
Yeah, it's like just brushing your finger over.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Your nose.
And
your pointer finger.
So I go, that is too much of a coincidence. The way
it's
he did
definitely
it.
Definitely
So I went up and looked, and then it started to look. It was like the 10 nods director so-and-so did toward Robert Redford's previous films.
And
so I was like, oh, that kind of makes me like it a little bit more, because I love subtle references and shit like that.
So do I.
But it was okay. Like, it was an entertaining enough movie.
Too stylistic? Like, style over substance? Because it's shot very interestingly. Like, I feel like the film quality seems different. Like, they might have used...
It's a little grainy kind of throwback, which I think they did on purpose.
Yes.
And there were... the story is this guy's a bank robber. He's an old man now, but he's been doing it and been escaping for so long. So there's a lot of old Robert Redford footage that they use. So it's shot grainy, I think, on purpose to match up with the older Robert...
Funny.
The younger Robert Redford footage. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But it was okay. I think it was fine. I watched it at a Sunday afternoon at my parents' house.
I don't want details, but was the ending satisfying?
It was satisfying. It was closure.
Closure-ish.
Yeah, it was closure-ish.
Okay. That's,
but I can see why people
were... That's the best review of this thing I've heard.
I didn't hate it.
I think from two sources I heard that it's shitty. So,
yeah.
And List was one of them. Joe List was one of them.
Yes.
So I totally... I'm willing maybe to check it out. You know, it's like... With a mindful eye. You know, like,
again, if it's on, I wouldn't turn it off if you hadn't seen it. It's worth a watch.
If it was just on, I would check it out. Yeah.
And since we weren't on last week, I think in between that time, RIP John Singleton.
That's right, which is like the scariest thing about this is John Singleton, if you don't know who that is, he directed Boys in the Hood. He did Higher Learning. He did a whole bunch of movies. I think he did Rosewood as well. Did he do Rosewood?
I don't know. Youngest best director nominee ever, I think.
Was he really?
At the time? Yeah, I think so.
The thing about him, wasn't he 50?
He was young when he died.
Yeah, he was 57?
Yeah.
Jesus, man. Black guys really, like, and this is such an obvious statement. They must go through so much. They die very young.
Yeah.
They die super young.
I know.
Now, what I'm saying, I don't think it's just a black guy thing, but, like, there's a lot of famous black guys that die very young.
Yeah. When I read that, you ever go, especially with athletes, you go, oh, I didn't know how close in age we were.
Yes.
Because you always look up to these people. And then when you get older, you go, the age gaps when you're old. Like, I'm friends with people in their 60s, you know?
Yeah.
You know, once they think you hit 35,
age just becomes
very arbitrary. But then it's like, CC Sabathia's 38 years old. I'm like, I'm older than him?
Yeah.
He's a pro athlete. And
it's like David
Wright.
Pro
athletes still always seem older than me, even if they're like a rookie.
Yeah.
When they're born in like 2001.
Yeah, because they're gigantic.
It's like Derek Jeter retired at age 43. I'm like, he's only 4 years older than me? You know
what? You're like, but he's a god.
Yeah, exactly.
He's my hero. He'd be like, because you know why? Because it's probably a bunch of stuff going on. There's an emotional attachment. So it's happening.
I think it's like when those guys break in, it happens to me mostly with athletes, because when they are rookies or whatever, it's usually they're 18, 19, 20 years old. And you're already doing shit. But it's like,
you're already living your life.
Well, then if you're like 13 at that time, by the time you're, you know, 33, they're like retired. And you go, oh, yeah, they were only 5 years older than me, but that was just the way.
Yeah, but they weren't that's how time works.
Yeah, it's so weird.
They were a few years older than me, but that was when you start sports.
Exactly. And they were. Athletes are gods to me.
Well, I think when it comes to athletes, I'm so, like, you know me, I'm not a big sports guy. I always try to get into it, but I can never follow it for longer than a certain amount of time. But I always find it so interesting, the drop off between like the star, especially basketball, the star of the team, and then the next guy up, because it's like there's a huge drop off.
Yeah,
and even baseball has it, because I went to go see a Mets game one night, and the Mets were killing it. Syndergaard, what do they call him, Thor or whatever?
Yep.
Killing it. The guy was killing it. 7 innings in, they were like, all right, he's done. They bring this other guy in. I forget his name. Something like a C or something like that. This guy was fucking up the second pitch. I'm like, you don't even have an inning in you? You don't have one inning of you just fucking nailing it? Really? You've been prepping the whole game.
You're getting paid millions.
Now, don't get me wrong. That's the thing. You're getting paid millions. You're trained for this. You're the filling guy. This is what it's supposed to be like. You just wrap it up. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's what my dad used to say about foul shots. He's like, they're supposed to be free points. They're supposed to be
lights
like
out.
Yeah, exactly. And then somebody got mad at me for saying that. They're like, it's a free attempt. It's not a free. I'm like, no. It's a fundamental of the sport that
100%.
You're supposed to know how to do.
Yeah.
And then, but nobody ever pays attention to this. That's why pros miss them all the time.
Right.
It's supposed to be like, boom, boom, in. Let's go on to the next thing. Free points.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know? So whatever. But let's get into the meat, because I don't want this to become a sport.
All right, let's get into the meat. I'm so excited.
This is a big matchup, actually. And it's funny because the more thinking I've done about this, I am more of a fan of my pick than yours.
Very interesting. Coming out of the gate hot.
So, you want to tell everybody what we're doing?
I will be defending we're both defending two psychological thrillers, both from the 90s. I will be defending one of my favorite movies of all time, The Silence of the Lambs.
And I will be defending Seven. Now, what people are saying right now is like, get the fuck out of here. Because
I think it's pretty close. This is why I suggested it. I was like, this is both two good psychological thriller,
but Silence of the
criminal.
Lambs, Silence of the Lambs has this legendary stuff.
I think both have legendary stuff about the movie.
I think you're right. I think it's getting to that point.
And I could defend either one of these. I happen to love one more. This is going to be a case where I'm not going to necessarily – I'll prove my points, but I'll also help – I'll bring up great points about Seven, too.
I'll give you my one big reason why I go with Seven.
Okay.
Because I think Seven fucked me up more. I think it messed me up more than
– I have that with both of these movies as well. the time that Silence of the Lambs came out being a little earlier.
It's a little bit more innocent.
And I was a little younger, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot, just so much of the creepiness and the psychology of it and the violence of it sat with me. Where I, when I saw it first as like a younger man, I was like, oh my God, like that's, it's a terrifying movie. I couldn't watch it for like a few years just because I was really scared of it.
It's super scary movie, but the creepiest thing about it is Buffalo Bill. I think that's the creepiest. I think the idea of a person like that existing is the creepiest thing to me when I watched that movie.
Yeah.
So everything else is really, is pretty much straight, like, it's creepy, but it's not. The thing about Seven is, like, everywhere you turn, you're either getting grossed out, or you're getting freaked out, or you're getting horrified, or there's a dildo with metal shanks on it that's destroying somebody, or there's the fat guy that's like pickling in the, it's like.
We'll explain it. The Seven Deadly Sins is personified,
sins, yeah.
literally,
so the, you,
through
you,
this guy's crime.
It's almost amping up this, like, it's almost horror at the same time as being thriller.
I think Silence does that, too. I think it's suspenseful the entire time leading up to a boiling point. And before you even meet Buffalo Bill, you have this this character in Hannibal Lecter that has this insane backstory that you're like, well, I want to know about that guy as well. That's crazy as well.
Right.
He was literally Hannibal the Cannibal.
But couldn't you
and he
say
was a psychologist, and he's this genius, and it's...
Technically, and I know because of Manhunter and Red, whatever,
right.
that we know we find out, I, whatever. But couldn't you say that's almost a minus of the movie for not delving into... Like, you're caging up a more interesting character in the movie?
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good-looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
You're saying Hannibal's
a more interesting character than the other one?
No.
I don't
think so, because that's just good character development. I think the main characters, it's their movie. It's not about Buffalo Bill.
That's true.
It's Clarice and Hannibal's movie completely.
Yeah, it is.
And it's really Clarice's movie. It's Clarice Starling's movie. You see her grow. She's a young FBI, not even an agent. She's a trainee, which is part of the whole psychology of, you know, he hates that they didn't even send her like a full, like, he's all about, you know, the disrespect of not even sending me a full agent.
Right. And I think when you have Anthony Hopkins and he's it's like, that's probably a career role. Like, that's a
one best actor.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, by the way, I think for, I don't know if this still holds up, but for the time, it was like shortest amount of screen time for when it's, if you put it all together, it's only like 16 minutes he's on screen.
Really?
Yeah, it's very short.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think the other one is, if you would ever get around to seeing it, Network.
I've done my homework.
Is a very short best supporting actress was like the least amount of screen. I can't remember
for
her
Peter,
name. Right now. No. It's for his ex. The guy's ex wife, actually.
Oh wow.
I'm blanking on the names.
But I'll tell you, like, you have,
okay, so
in Seven, you have great acting.
You have, well, I mean, let's, you can do, you have great acting in both. Both are police movies trying to catch a killer. Psychological game playing kind of killer.
Yeah.
You know, serial killer.
Yes.
You have it from the perspective of the veteran slash, well, Brad Pitt's not a rookie, but he's like on a newer beat. He's moved to the new city, I guess.
Here's the thing about, this is another reason I'm going to defend this movie, because the other one's Jonathan Demme, correct? Silence of the Lambs.
Jonathan Demme's
amazing, and he won for this, did he not?
Silence of the Lambs holds the distinct honor of, I think, the last movie to sweep all five major Oscar categories, actor, actress.
David Fincher, something is up where this guy does not, why isn't this guy thought of like a Demme or a Scorsese?
I think he's ahead of his hand in a little too many clinkers.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because, well, based off this and Zodiac, like, I watched Zodiac.
Batting average.
This is a guy, he did Social Network. He does these fucking bangers. And he's always kind of just thought of, I think, as he has a vibe to me, and I could be wrong about this, tell me if I'm wrong, a director for hire. Like, it's one of those kind of things where it's
No, 100%. You know, I think that's why, like, people probably don't, is exactly what you said.
But he's got a very distinct style. He knows what he's doing. He freaks you out. And on these kind of, like, this kind of movie in particular, like, it's hard to pull that off in a way where everybody, you know, there's editing involved. But I'm saying, like,
Seven has its own really cool look. The rain and just the bleakness really sets the tone of the movie. It's really well done.
Dark without being shot too dark. Like, yeah. You can see everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big problem in some of these movies. In certain scenes, you get washed out. I don't think that has it. I think you can see everything in this.
It really makes you kind of feel badly. You know what I mean? Like, you're
really
watching and you just go, should I get up and walk around? Should I go outside?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the one thing about
sunny,
yeah, right, exactly. But as far as, and also feel badly, morally speaking, because
yeah.
If you look at Silence of the Lambs, like, to me, I'm like, oh, you're just dealing with pure evil. And
period.
It's a matter of good versus
100%.
Evil. 100%. If you look at Seven, these people are put to a test. Of, like, well, how far are you willing to go to survive? Like, that kind of thing. Like,
it's more of like a guy who's trying to prove a point about society or whatever you want to call it. Like,
how gluttonous it is,
exactly.
How whatever. How we abuse the seven deadly sins.
Right.
And it might be, you know, you can argue both, I guess, but talk about an ending sequence.
John Doe has the upper hand.
What's in the box?
I was going to get to that. I mean, both movies have kind of, at least for me, iconic quotes. I mean, what's in the box is a very...
Oh, God.
I mean, there's a point where you couldn't go, like, see a box, you know, FedEx box would come
somebody
and some asshole just, what's in the box?
It became like a thing. It was basically like the horror version of What's Up for like, what's in the box?
But this is also maybe subjective to me and my friends, is Silence of the Lambs is so quotable, but that might just be our group.
No, I think it was quotable.
I mean,
I ate his liver with some fava beans.
That was the main
one.
That was the big one.
People love that one.
Yeah.
And it was spoofed a lot. It was probably spoofed more than Seven was. Seven gets spoofed, but not as much as Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Just because of those lines.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's so many. Lecter is so good. Anthony Hopkins is so good in it as this genius psychologist, former psychologist turned cannibal, I guess.
I'm also going to do this. I have a feeling. I'm gonna make a bold statement to try to defend one of my
statement.
Things. Jodie Foster, overrated.
I'm
sorry.
In the movies she's good in, she's great. But again, her average is not as high as you would think an actress of her caliber who's been around for that long. She came out of the gate so hot. Like,
especially when you know something is perfect, when you're like, I can't picture anybody else in this role.
See,
I feel like that happens with Daniel Day-Lewis in The Old Blood. But you take Holly Hunter, you put in this role.
That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know, because I read about the people considered
who tried out for it
instead of Jodie Foster, and I go, it's got to be Jodie Foster.
But who was
considered? She is so perfectly plays like the trainee, the naive a little bit, but still kind of a strong personality in her own way.
Yeah, I guess that's what they needed.
And she has this kind of backstory that Lecter loves to get into, the quid pro quo. I think I don't know if Holly Hunter's a good one, but
Who were the other ones?
Maybe
you
you're just so accustomed to. I don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They were so wrong.
You're like, no, that's not it.
I also heard a lot of the ones that Hannibal's like De Niro, Pacino, like all the other guys.
Oh,
you're like,
sure.
Oh, come on.
But actually, I would love to see De Niro in that because.
And like, I think Daniel Day-Lewis is actually one of the names, too.
That, he could have done that easily.
Yeah.
Easily he could have done it.
But Perkins plays it so.
He's
older.
Fantastic.
He's a little older.
Yeah.
He's got this great backstory. It was just. The perfect fit, I think, for everybody.
But as far as the type goes, Day-Lewis can do it. Also,
Gene Hackman was supposed to be Jack Crawford. He actually had a stake in the movie until he backed out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is not a huge role, but I can actually see Gene Hackman in that one more
another
than I can.
Another thing with Gene Hackman. Oh, same here. Also, with Gene Hackman is like another underrated guy. Apparently a giant badass.
Oh,
guy. Giant
so
badass.
Great.
I just watched some scene of him in Mississippi Burning where he grabs the guy's balls.
Yeah, he's great.
He's fantastic.
He's got a very high batting average for me.
He's
despite making a lot of clinkers.
He's badass.
Lex Luthor.
He's great.
Royal Tenenbaum.
But he's one of those guys.
French Connection.
Yeah, but think about it. He's great in anything he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you have a shitty movie, Gene Hackman.
Yeah, you're like, hey,
shitty.
Gene Hackman's in it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Royal Tenenbaums, he's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Might be my favorite role of his.
Apparently an old curmudgeon. Just a
but,
giant.
He's so perfect for that
role. He's sick now. Did he die?
I don't know.
Not yet, but he's been sick for years. He retired from acting.
You ever heard Brendan Smith's joke? He goes, guys, I hate to say this, but Gene Hackman just passed away. And the audience goes, no. He goes, that's not true, but doesn't it make you realize how much you love Gene Hackman? It's such a cruel, hilarious joke.
Who does that?
Brendan Smith.
Yeah, but it does. It's true.
Yeah.
Also, it's one of those things where you're like, is that person dead?
Yeah, yeah.
You know that you're like probably 112 when somebody's like, are you dead?
I know.
But he retired from acting.
Yeah, he did.
He is awesome, but I could see him in that Jack Crawford role easily. You mean with the one that Peter Coyote had, right? Is it Coyote? Who has the...
No, it's not Peter Coyote. It's... I can't remember his name, but he's the head of the FBI.
Oh, right. Yeah. But honestly, I think when it comes to Seven, it creeps me out more. And that last scene...
I don't know, man. There's a lot of...
Just think... Because when you have, like, the evil... You know, both of them kind of have evil wins a little bit. But with Seven, that last exchange... When he's freaking out with the box, and he's losing his mind, like he pulls that off so
he does
well.
It's very
he's so through the ringer at that point. That scene does it for me, and also just the idea where you're like when you first see it. Think about it this way: first seeing both movies, like when I first saw Seven, and then you're so in it and you're so pulled in, and that last scene, you're like, oh, you didn't. That's one of the ones you're like, I did not see that coming. I didn't see that coming with the wife. You did
absolutely
not see
not.
It coming. No, 100%. So those are always the things where it's like in the land of twists when people realize like fun twists were a thing and that every movie had a twist. You can really should be able to celebrate the ones that have really good ones that you
100%.
You know what? One has that one. As a side note, a movie that has a great twist in it that you don't see coming, but you're not even really kind of looking for it. Crazy Stupid Love. Have you ever seen Crazy Stupid Love?
I don't think I've seen it.
It's a really good movie. Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore.
And I have seen it, but I don't remember what it was.
And what's her name? The girl from Superbad. Who was famous for a while.
Emma Stone?
Emma Stone. But... This twist in that's not like a crazy twist. It's just a little twist. But you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, my point being, this, to me, as far as my points go, Jodie Foster, I think you could have replaced her by a bunch of different people. I think overall Jodie Foster is overrated. I think Jodie Foster, even when she was younger, she didn't even have the character strength of playing characters. It was always Jodie Foster. Like you always say about people, hey, the first couple movies, you get a character, and then Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks. Jodie Foster has always been
I'll give you
actor.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I do think she's perfect for this role. You could have thrown a million actresses, I think, into
Holly Hunter.
The Accused, which is a role that, you know,
yeah, well, The Accused I don't remember too much. I maybe saw it when I was younger, but I also was kind of freaked out seeing
also,
that.
Also, Taxi Driver, you could have gotten any other little girl. Come on.
But like, she's the little girl in that, and Tatum O'Neal, if Tatum O'Neal had a different life, you could have put Tatum O'Neal in Taxi Driver.
But
you could have put her in this.
I think she's perfect in Silence.
No, I'm not saying she's not.
I know what you're saying.
I'm saying it's replaceable. That's what I'm saying.
You can make that argument for almost any role in any movie, though.
Who else would you see?
Such a hindsight is 2020 kind of thing.
Yeah, I know.
You could be doing this all day.
Yeah, but I'm just saying as far as the strengths of... I guess because another side of the things... I guess with Seven...
It's like Eric Stoltz's Back to the Future where they actually stopped production.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy. When I found that out, I was shocked. They filmed like 10% of the movie or something.
Yeah.
and then basically the gist, if you read about it, he couldn't pull off comedy. He couldn't... I don't know how that's possible because he was in like funny movies before that.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I'm glad they switched it.
He's always just kind of been there though. He's just kind of there.
He's just a there guy. You know? Well, Some Kind of Wonderful. I mean, Some Kind of Wonderful.
His first movie is Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You what?
Where he's Eric.
That's right.
Oh, no. And so is Nick Cage. It was Nicholas Coppola.
That's right.
They're all Spicoli's buddies.
Yes, that's right. And also in Some Kind of Wonderful, another great character actor that I love that now does a lot of TV. He's older now. John Ashton.
Yeah.
Love John Ashton. Nobody ever sings the praises of John Ashton. I do. He plays he's in Midnight Run. He plays, what's the guy's name in Midnight Run? He goes, what's his name in Midnight Run? He goes, Marty, look out! And they punch him, they knock him out. All right, I'm going off on a tangent here. But basically, what I'm trying to say is...
We got to head back on track.
Kevin Spacey, amazing as a serial killer.
All right, let's do it this way. Better villain of the movie. I go James Gunn. So you go John Doe? Spacey over...
What's his name? Yeah, no, you won that one.
James Gunn.
No, his real name is... I know his name.
He's a great big fat person.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I wasn't going to get through without doing the voice.
Oh, there's another thing I want to say about that guy. He's the captain in Monk.
You see him in a lot of stuff later in life. He's been around.
Ted McGinley. Not Ted McGinley. Ted...
It couldn't have been a further guy for the Ted
no,
McGinley.
It's Ted something else. Ted, look him up. Ted McGinley. He was in Married with Children, and he played Jamie Gumman.
It's not Jefferson on fucking Married with Children. He went from Jane Gum to fucking Jefferson Darcy.
No, it's Ted something else, and he's fantastic. And... he is the captain on Monk, and he takes those roles now because early on in his career, all they did was give him really negative killer roles, like Jamie Gump. So he decided at one point, I'm going to grow this mustache and do, like, the father, the cop, the fireman. Ted Levine. There we go. Ted Levine. I looked him up all the time. I like Ted Levine a lot. He's great. But, yeah, think about that. That's a career-defining role for him, too.
I know. It's so creepy. And
but it's kind of interesting that all he did was he got a little bit older, grew a mustache, and he got away from
it. Yeah.
But if
very
you watch
inspired
Monk,
by a lot of the...
If you watch Monk, you can see Jane.
Oh, yeah. His voice, you can always hear that. It's such a distinctive voice.
Yes, hold the case, Monk. Also, put the lotion back in the bag.
Don't hurt my fucking dog. It's really hard to do.
That's a creepy setup. That's a creepy.
Yeah,
setup.
He's got the. Well, they took Ted Bundy. They took Ed Gein. They drew from a lot of serial killers. You know, the Pit. They had the Pit.
Ed Gein. He was.
Right,
also,
maybe I'm saying it wrong.
It was Gein, but I don't know.
It might be Ed Gein.
I really don't know. It could be anything. But he was also the inspiration for Psycho.
Right.
Like the Psycho in the movie. Okay, better villain. Better director?
Jonathan Demme.
No, I don't think so. I'm telling you, man, this guy is fucking phenomenal.
He kind of died young, too, speaking of dying young.
Jonathan Demme did.
Also made my favorite music. That's a tough one to say.
Which one did he make?
He's another one famous. He did Stop Making Sense by the Talking Heads, which is such a great
musical
concert.
I love that.
In the line of Scorsese and the Waltz.
Yes! We probably could put those up against each other. Yeah. I would take Last Waltz.
I would probably take Stop Making Sense.
Really?
I have to
watch Stop Making Sense.
Though. It's great.
But here's the thing, man. So director, I would like...
Well, but you won Best Director. Fincher did not for Seven.
All right, there you go. That's the thing. But I'm like, but as far as like more interesting to look at, like as far as style, like Fincher's got a very noticeable style. Like the Coen Brothers.
I'll give that to you.
Like the Coen brothers have their type of thing, you know. Fincher has his.
I will agree. Yeah.
Underrated. Demme, a little bit overrated. Like, became like the Hollywood elite very quickly. Fincher, still to this day, has met the Oscar-nominated movies and still gets put in as like... Like, he, create some TV shows and stuff like that. He, you know, the guy's doing fine. I'm not saying that. But he should be hailed a little bit more for his directing.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not.
All right, let's go to the cops.
Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt versus essentially Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
I guess you could kind of throw Jack Crawford in there as his character, but not really.
I think you got. I think
tough one because.
You got Morgan Freeman in there.
You get a little more. Well, they both get very personal with their. I love the story of Jodie Foster because you get so revealed because they force you to hear her backstory through Lecter's curiosity about that stuff, and he'll only give her information in the case files.
They, like, piecemeal
so she revealed.
Out.
It's such a great, like, diabolical psychology, like, creepy genius thing to do. It's like, I'll give you something, but you got to tell me something about you. It's just like, it's just so fun. I love it. So you kind of, she, you know, was a little girl, had a dad who died young, went to live on a ranch in Montana, and then you obviously understand. Like, her story, you reveal the title of the movie in The Silence of the Lambs, and it's just, it's a creepy, she wanted to save one. It's like kind of why she became a cop is because she could save people and help, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of got to give it to Silence again. I know, like, in Seven, you have a young wife and Gwyneth Paltrow, and they're new to the city, and they're kind of having marital problems. The big reveal, obviously, at the end, and then you have Morgan Freeman, you know, who's kind of the grizzled veteran cop.
Here's what I'll say, real quick, not to interrupt you, but here's what I'll say. I like movies that, the movies that have this, because you can draw the conclusion with Fargo when it comes to... When it comes to Silence of the Lambs. So when it comes to movies like this, when you have the ray of hope or the ray of goodness that's in either the cop's personal life,
yeah.
And that's it's very obvious. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. Her being pregnant,
yeah,
she's supposed
say,
to be the ray of hope.
But we don't know, right.
Fargo.
But he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know what.
So there's not really a ray of hope because he doesn't know she's pregnant. And that's why he eventually can't stop himself from killing.
Out of the whole movie, she's the ray of... Out of the whole movie, she's the only good thing in the movie.
All right, yes.
She's the only bit of goodness in the movie. Silence of the Lambs...
I mean, that's Jodie Foster. She's trying to do right by people. She's trying to...
Force in the movie. It's a little bit more straightforward. I'm just saying...
Yeah,
it's a little bit more poetic.
Not,
it's a little bit more poetic.
It's not as psychologically twisty. It's more definitely more of a straightforward crime... Where you know you're going to have a resolve.
Yeah.
And I don't think you know if what's... You don't know what's going to happen with John Doe because he's in custody.
Yeah.
And he still manages to pull something off.
Yeah,
which
is
crazy.
It's not because he wanted them to.
And it's... Yeah, obviously the...
What's in the box?
Silence of the Lambs. You know, but that also has a great twist when you realize that she... You know, they find out who Jam Gum is. They get his address and to go to Illinois. So they've got the whole cavalry going to this Illinois home. But she doesn't figure. She figures out that he knew Frederica Bimmel, and she figures out that it was.
Doesn't he say that Frederica Bimmel?
She's a great big fat person. and that he had moved in and killed the lady who used to live at his house. Now in the town in Ohio, she figured out that. He was getting closer and killing people that he knew. And that was when they have that whole great scene where it's kind of them rushing the house. And with the doorbell, it's kind of a double.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of the same
So
deal.
It is kind of a twisty, you don't go. And then she's on his own. When he opens the door, it's her standing there.
Yeah.
And it's not the SWAT team. You go, oh, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, yeah. You're right. It's the same kind of thing. Yeah. So... I guess as far as I think for the day we'll wrap it up. But I think for the day I think you win because reaction to Silence of the Lambs is much more favorable.
What about flip test rewatchability? I'll keep Silence of the Lambs on. I will not turn. I can flip away from
Seven. I'll flip away from Seven.
Seven's not a rewatchable movie. It's a great movie.
I gotta be honest, I don't think I'll rewatch either. I can get freaked out.
Silence. Well, you know me. I love Silence is in my top five, to be honest, of all time.
And
it's that far up there for me. I love it. I love everything about it. And
I think Seven
definitely passes the flip test for me.
I think the only thing I could do today is to say that. It gives it a run. Before we did the matchup, Seven gives Silence of the Lambs a run for its money more than you would think.
Absolutely
does.
Silence
of the Lambs edges it out as far as, I think, quality goes. Because even script-wise, And they're both great scripts. But like, I'm trying to think of little things of why it edges it out, and I think Silence edges it out. If I had really had to guess, because of and a lot of that is the fanfare afterwards. Some of that is.
Yeah.
So I think you win for the day, Andy. I think you're
all right. Yeah, I agree with you.
I will acquiesce to you. Is that the right word to use?
Acquiesce.
Acquiesce. What is it? Acquiesce. I'm an idiot. Well, let's wrap this up. This was fun. What do you want to plug there, kid?
I am going to be at the Saratoga Springs Comedy Works headlining May 24th and May 25th. And I would like to plug the next weekend after that, the aforementioned birthday show. I'll be headlining a birthday show. It's my 40th birthday. If you're in the New York City area, please, please come out. I would love to have some defenders there. We'll be hanging out all night. It's a show at the Fat Black Pussycat at the Comedy Cellar. And it's on Wednesday, June 5th at 8:30 p.m., which is my birthday. Shawnee's going to be there. We're going to be hanging out all night. The show, you know, we're going to do there's going to be stand-up, and then there's going to be some cakes and drinks and dancing and all that fun stuff. It's a birthday party.
Very nice.
So that'll be June 5th. So check that out. We'll mention it leading up until then. But, yeah, just keep me up to speed on all the old socials at andyfiori.com.
And
that's it.
I'm at Shawnee Time on Twitter and Instagram. On May 24th, I'll be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington. You can get tickets now if you Google that. Sean Donnelly, Cinema Arts Center, Huntington, Long Island. Come out and check it out. It's supposed to be a really cool venue.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And I know a lot of people in Long Island, so if you're listening to this and you know me, let me know if you're coming. Defenders, if you're coming, let me know. We'll say hello. We'll eat some meats and some potatoes together.
I love it.
And we will see you next week. And thank you so much for listening. Also, I can't forget this. Subscribe, rate, review, and subscribe for the show. It'll help the show. Things are going great. The numbers are going up. The interactions are happening. We need you to spread the word about the show. Also, showbrizstudios.com. Follow them. Follow their YouTube page. Follow their iTunes page. Check out all the Showbriz Studios podcasts. Yes, Andy.
And if you have a matchup, please, we're open to suggestions. We'd love to hear from the defenders. So tweet at us and tell us what you think of the episode. If you think Shawnee won, if you think I won, if you have your own opinions. Please, if you have another third movie that maybe we didn't think of.
In fact, I think...
And we know we miss a lot. We never claim to be experts.
Maybe later this summer we do Fan Matchup Month.
Fan Matchup Month. I read... And God bless you. I wish I had your name at the helm right now, but I had a great review, which me and Shawnee both loved. It was like, they're not the smartest guy. And they make a lot of mistakes about the movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they have great chemistry and they're super funny, which is what we set out to do,
it's
really.
Called it's called being for real.
Yeah.
What do you want us to read? A bunch of books?
We just want you to be entertained by it. Yeah. So please. But yes, but that also lends itself to please rate and review and subscribe. And it really, when good things come from you guys doing stuff like that, it'll help us to do a whole lot more with the podcast, like live shows and Patreon stuff. So please keep that up. And thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you soon. And we love you.
Bye-bye.